Thank you for that time of worship, and I hope that what has been shared will truly encourage our hearts. Recognize that running this race, it's never easy. And it's so wonderful to be able to have others to run alongside us. You know, there are always challenges, whether it's at work, whether it is in the context of ministry. You know, there are always difficulties that we will have to struggle with, whether they are weight, whether they are sins. And you know, the challenge last week that was given to all of us is that let's not be bogged down by these things. Let's set them aside. Let's learn what it means to deal with them, and let's run this race. I like this whole idea of that we are not alone. The idea here is let us. It's not a, I mean, of course, some of the races, there are individual races, and but yet, at the same time, you know, we are not alone. This race that we are running is, we are running together. It's, you know, there are others who are running alongside. And we have a great cloud of witnesses from the Word of God, from those around us, that inspire us, that encourage us. So we want to understand that this, you know, this race is not something that you just want to run alone. We want to be encouraged. And, you know, there are people around us. Those who stand by us, those who teach us, those who are your pastors. You know, we are here to support each other. And I think it's important for us to understand that. And, you know, let's run the race. No matter how challenging it may be, no matter how discouraging it may be, no matter how much you have fallen, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, those races. You know, I think the comment was given from the depths of hell, and somehow she managed to take over. I really appreciated the commentator, how they actually described it, because really she was like, don't know where she was, and out of the blue she, you know, went to the front, you know, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. Amazing to see someone fall and get up and, you know, to just run. I mean, I don't know whether she was, you know, knew that she would catch up or whatever, but the point is that you don't give up. And of course, the last one was, you know, he is an, you know, US runner, and he was one of the favorites. And yet, because of an injury, he couldn't finish. I mean, he, you know, he was injured, but he didn't give up. The point is to finish the race. I thought, wow, that is something else. And today we're going to learn the next part of this section here. And I hope that you will actually take time to memorize this verse, these two verses. They are wonderful verses, you know, to take time to ponder over. And, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and, you know, that he would be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I think that's wonderful to be able to look to Christ. Okay, we're trying to figure this a little bit more this afternoon. And how do we succeed in this race? And when we talk about succeed, it's not finishing first. Okay, it's about finishing the race no matter what position we may be in. It's to succeed. It's to finish it. And we all have this race. Now, and one person that we want to be encouraged by is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He also ran the race when he became a man and he came down to this earth, and he felt the same struggles, the same challenges, the temptations, the difficulties, the ridicule, the sufferings, the pain. And yet at the same time, he finished that race and he succeeded in running this race. And we want to look to him. And, you know, I think Mark 1, sorry, verse 17 teaches us to follow him. Okay, that, you know, to follow me. That's the challenge that was given. It is, the idea of this word, follow me, is, you know, oftentimes we think about, okay, you know, just following the person's example, which is part of it. But the word follow here is really to come behind the person and to follow after that person. And to, you know, to whatever it is that the person seeks to you know, live his life, it is to walk behind him exactly. This is the way he runs. This is how we want to run also. To walk behind him, to follow behind him, to run behind him. That's what it means here. That's what it means to follow. You know, next week in Perth, our church in Bethel, they're going to have a youth camp. And the theme is, follow me. And we want the young people really to learn what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a lot of times, you know, they have a lack of understanding, lack of direction, and so caught up with the things of the world. We want to learn what it means to follow the Lord. We want to focus on Him. I think it's a challenge for all of us too. As we run this race, as we are called to run this race, we want to learn to follow Him. And that's the key to succeeding in this race, is to follow the Lord. Okay? Now, let's try and understand this verse a little bit in verse 2. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I want to try and explain a little bit about this verse, and especially this word, looking. What does it mean to look? Now, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. First of all, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, again, a very familiar verse, it says, but we see Jesus, okay, who was made a little lower than the angels, right? And if you were following Pastor's 40 days and 40 nights, this is what we call a litote. It basically means, it's not that we are just a little lower than the angels. Actually, we are very far away from the angels. Okay? And but he's just trying to explain things so that it's to emphasize certain things. Okay? But we see Jesus. Now, the word see, okay, first of all, it's in Greek, is the word blepo. Right? And the word blepo is a common word for the word see. Right? It basically, you know, it's just a general viewing. That means when I see something, that's the, you know, the idea here. It's just a very general word. It's a very common word. And it's a word that is used to describe somebody. Okay, you know, I see you. I see Wei Chen. And what do you do? What are you doing, Wei Chen? Typing something into your... okay. Because he's not seeing me, I'm only seeing him. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is that it's what you see, right? What is before you, how you see things. It's a very general word that is being used here. And the author of Hebrews uses this word and say, you know, but we see Jesus. What do you see? How do you see things? But we see Jesus and who he is and what he's seeking to do, and so on and so forth. Now, as he began to explain further, and he talks about what it means to have faith and so on and so forth, and especially about the Lord Jesus, he changes the use of a certain, the word to describe this idea of seeing. So, look at chapter 4 now. And in chapter 4, verse 14, we read, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we talked about this verse before. Okay? Now, the word seeing then, it's not the word blepo. In fact, it's not even a word that comes close to this idea of seeing. Right? It's actually the word un. Okay. So you have see, and then you have seen. And, right, you have lepo, and then you have the word un. Now this word un is actually the word therefore. But it's translated as seeing then. So what is he trying to bring across? So it's not just about seeing. That's general. You're seeing things. You know, you observe things. Seeing Christ. But here the author uses the word un. What that means is that as he reasoned things out, he comes to certain conclusion and he sees. So it's a deeper level of seeing. You know, sometimes when you see things, you ask yourself, you know, we can just see things for what it is. But yet, when you reason things out a little bit more, what is it that, you know, why are we here? What is it that we are seeking to understand? What is it about faith that we are trying to go deeper in? What is it that, you know, in believing in God makes such a big difference in our lives? And, you know, as we reason these things out, it becomes sight to us in how we see things. It becomes perspective, and I talked about this before. You know, so when you see things, it's not just a general seeing. It's a reasoned out seeing, if I can put it that way. The way you see things or the way you see Christ is something that has reason in it. You know, so you don't just see. You see with reason in mind. As you reason things out, as you see Christ, you understand Him a little bit more deeper, a little bit more deeply, so that you would be able to appreciate, understand, and see Him in a far greater manner. So there's already a movement from chapter 2 to chapter 4, and how he sees the Lord Jesus as the great high priest, seeing then. Can you see this? Okay? And then you come to chapter 12, and there is this word, looking. Now, the word look here, or looking, again, it's a slightly different word, right? And this word, ephorao, okay, it's a very interesting word. It's a word where, so you must see the development of how you see things. And that is from generally seeing. And when you just generally see, what is it that you actually finally understand and appreciate is another thing. It's just seeing. Okay? And yet at the same time, as you reason things out, you see Christ, you see Him with conclusions, you see Him with greater understanding, there is a deeper sense of appreciation. But when you come to this idea of looking unto Jesus, afar away, this word is to look intensely. It is this word that describes one who is fixed. You come to a point where you are fixed in the way you see Christ. When you're fixed on something, you're not going to move away from it. The word fixed is that you have set your eyes on something, you're not going to move away from that, and that's it. Right? You're fixed on it. You're honed in on it, and that's it. You're not going to budge from that. Can you see this? Right? I think that's very important. You know? So when some of you are going to get married, some of you are already married, and you know, when you decide on someone that you are going to spend the rest of your life with, you see that person generally, okay, just see only, alright, oh, okay, not too bad, you know, when I say not too bad, it means good qualities and things like that, Then along the way, you begin to interact. You see this person. Wow, you know, this person is really, you know, got sense of depth, got, you know, good understanding of, you know, what it means to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord. You know, wow. So you see this person in the greater light. And then you say, wow, okay, you know what? Wow, a lot of potential in terms of what it means to relate. And then finally, wow, this, you know, this is person that has come to be, you know, a soulmate, you know, where you can really spend time talking about the Lord, serving together, and then you fix your eyes on that person, and you're not going to budge from there anymore. You know, you're not going to, your eyes are not going to wander or whatever it may be, but you just fix your eyes on that person, and that's it. I'm speaking from experience. Hey, by the way, Cynthia, Chinky is my wife. Just in case you're wondering, yes, because some people along the way has mistaken. So I thought I'd better clarify. Right. So when you fix on something, you're not going to move away from that. That's what it means here. You come to a point when you understand Christ and you appreciate Him so much that nothing else in this world really matters at all, really. Not the weights of this world, no matter how much difficulties you find, you know what? They're not going to matter very much. Yes, I know there are struggles and there are difficulties. But you know, when you look at Christ, nothing else matters. Same with the problem of sin. You know, sin is something that we all struggle with. We will struggle with it. It will be something that will be ongoing. It will be something that we will fight with. Something that we will seek to overcome. But it will be there. But you know what? So what? My eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is that great high priest. He has died on the cross, suffered for my sins and made an atonement. You know what? I'm going to fix my eyes upon Him. None of these things matter more than who Christ is to me. You know, oftentimes we don't know what it means to fix our eyes on the Lord. Yeah, we have a general understanding. Yes, we maybe can reason out things a little bit more, but we cannot just remain there, you see. We must be able to say, you know, we are looking unto Jesus. Nothing else matters. No matter how much we struggle in life, no matter how much difficulties we find that, you know, that may weigh us down. You know, so I recognize life can be challenging, you know, at workplace. So Sam was just sharing about, you know, all the difficulties he has in SIA and you know, we recognize, right? And then the SIA plane caught fire and a lot of challenges along the way. Sure. And work processes, bosses, you know, you got to deal with all these things. And it can weigh you down. It can be, you know, something that can affect you along the way. I know if we learn what it means to fix our eyes on the Lord. So I appreciate when He says, you know what, I'm learning what it means to place Christ as my center. You know what? That is what matters most. To fix my eyes on the Lord Jesus. So what if we struggle with difficulties? So what if we have problems along the way? Fix your eyes on Jesus and run. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Wow. That to me is what we really want to do. So what is it that we set our sights on? You know, sometimes you place so much focus on work, on the things of this world. We tend to lose sight. We tend to lose sight of Christ. We tend to lose sight of Christ and what he is meant to be to us. Who He is to us. So crucial for us to appreciate this. Okay, let's try and figure this out a little bit. What does it mean for Him to be the author and the finisher of our faith? You know, I really like this idea of what does it mean for Christ to be, you know, one whom we look to? And it says here that he is the author. The word author here means he is the one who originates our faith. He is the originator, you know, that he is the one that is, you know, it's almost like he is the one that is the founder of our faith. That's what he means there. The founding leader of our faith. You know, we have schools, we have, you know, organizations, we have founders, and you know how they are the ones that initiate or started this company and so on and so forth. You know, he, Christ, is the founder of our faith. He is the one who, you know, the one who begins our faith. Okay? And not only that, so we look to him to show us the way, to teach. So, you know, along the way, the Lord Jesus taught the disciples how to run this race, what it means to grow in terms of their faith, to impact them, to help them develop that faith. So, it's important for them to see how faith slowly, bit by bit, grew. You know, sometimes when we search for meaning of life or search for faith in life, sometimes that takes time, right? And to see the Lord Jesus slowly, bit by bit, open our eyes through his word, open our eyes through people along the way who will help us to enlighten us. You know, it's the Lord's way of helping us to develop and initiate this faith in our life. So he is the one that would, right from the very beginning, help us to begin this faith. And that he will be at the finishing line, and he will be the one that will help finish, you know, that faith for us. So he is very much involved. If we were to look at this whole race from beginning to end, he is going to be the one that is with us each step of the way. He will help us in commencing this faith, and he will bring this whole faith to a completion. So the word finisher is really the word to be the perfecter or to bring about a, you know, a completion of that faith to help us to finish this race. So when I saw that, you know, that father carrying that son to help him along, you know, I thought, wow, that's wonderful. That's what the Lord does for us, that he would support us, encourage us, and to help us finish this race. You know, so it's Christ is there each step of the way, and our focus should be on him. Right? Okay, the only one person that I know that runs a marathon is Tao Hua. Anybody else run a marathon before? Oh, Jason, have you have a marathon? Okay lah, bopake, you know. No. I understand. Half a marathon also very important. No, just kidding. Yeah. I mean, let me ask two of you. When you run a race like this, what goes through your mind? What goes through your mind? I mean, are you thinking of something, or you're just blank, or you're just... Well, what are you thinking? Are you thinking of... Sorry? Why did I pay $50? Why did I pay $50 to run this race? Is that something that you focus on, or you just run, you know, kind of thing? Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about race, competitive or whatever, you know, that you are running that time, and then what is it that runs through your mind? Yeah. Sure. So you're looking at the what is before you, right?
Yeah.
Do you think of the finishing line?
Of course.
Okay. But it's not only just the finishing line, right? As you say, as the slope comes, as along the way, right? Your plan, you know, you roughly know the route, you ran it before, you kind of like... Okay. You... Yeah, okay. Jace, what, how do you run your race? Sure. So you just... Yeah. So visualizing is very important. Very honestly. In fact, a lot of things that we... Whether it's sports or whether it is the things that we actually do, visualizing is actually very important. How do you visualize yourself in running this race? How do you see it play out? Right? To a certain extent. And... it's very important for us to actually visualize. And of course, our focus is really the Lord. That He will be the one that... You think of the finishing line, yeah? He will be there. He will be there to help us finish. Because right from the very beginning, He was there. Right? At the same time, we also recognize that in the whole process of running this race, He is there also. Each step of the way. So visualizing is very important in a race. And especially, even as we run this race of faith. What is it that comes through your mind? If you're just going to run without visual, without looking, without a proper mindset of seeing the things that are meant for you to see, then we will, you know, not run beyond a certain level. And oftentimes you see people give up and you see people, you know, falling and not seeking to continue this race. It's because they have not sought to set their minds, their eyes on the Lord as they should. Because if you set your eyes on the Lord and you see Him for who He is, that He has given us that salvation, that atonement, that saving grace, that mercy, that, you know, that strength, and so on and so forth. No matter what state you are in, no matter how much you have fallen from the depths of hell, you know what? You still can look to Christ. So none of us should have any reason to give up. None whatsoever. When you look at Christ, that He is all that matters. Seriously. And all the time, you know, oftentimes we tend to focus instead on our sin. And, you know, we get discouraged. We get bogged down. We get, you know, I'm lousy. I might say, oh, what kind of Christian am I? You know, the more you reason like that, you're not focusing on Christ. You're just focusing on yourself. That's not the way to run. You want to run? This race, it is setting your heart, your mind, your spirit, everything, what you see on Christ and Christ alone. Why? Because He is the best example for us. Right? He is one who has taken up that cross. Will there be times for us to take up our cross? The answer is yes. There will be times that we will be, you know, not everybody is going to be accepting of our faith. There'll be times when people would ridicule us for what we believe in, what we stand for. Not everybody is going to appreciate our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when people would say, you know what, why are we taking so much time in church? Why is it that you don't do the things that we want to do? And, you know, you will be tested along the way. Well, we look to Christ. We have to take up the cross and to follow Him. It's easier to say, you know what, let's be like the world. We could do that. We could choose to do that. But then, you know what, we are not running the race as we should. Running this race is a race that the Lord has set for us to follow. He has set the example. And we must seek to run after Him. This is the way to go. Right? And then he goes on to say, who for the joy that was set before him, right, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was set before him. You know, I was just reading up about a little bit about marathon running, and it was very interesting that this person was saying, you know, when you run, well, of course you got to concentrate and, you know, you got to be serious and everything else. He also said, you must have fun. I don't know whether you felt that. I don't know. Do you have fun running, or is it just pain and agony? And at the end, yeah, of course, because it's over already, right? You can laugh about it or whatever. But it's very interesting that this person say you must have fun when you run. And, you know, sometimes through all the challenges, it is, you know, look at the Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him. Oh, that's an amazing perspective. You know? Because he knew that he was going to suffer much, to endure the cross. But yet, to him, it was joy. Now, let me tell you that this is one race that you must find joy in. Yeah, we hear you. Our hearts go out to you. But, you know, it's a race that you must find joy in, no matter how challenging it may be. It is something that you must find, you know, that despite the challenges, yes, I will still find joy in the Lord. Joy to face these challenges. You know, it's an amazing focus for us to have. Right? To endure the cross. The word endured is really the word to persevere. Ah, we need to persevere. We need to, you know, like what the guy did, you know. You fall down, you pick yourself up, you persevere on. You don't give up. And I think, you know, we have been saying in the new generation that's been coming up and all the younger ones, they call them what generation? Strawberry generation. Now durian. Why? Soft on the inside but poking on the outside. Is it? Complain a lot, but inside very soft. Sorry, inside is very smelly. Well, I beg to differ lah. I mean, some of us do enjoy durians, but soft on the inside. Right? But, you know, I think we want to be able to, you know, yeah, maybe the young people today are, you know, because they are sheltered, they are looked after too much, you know, they are not exposed to challenges, no real testings in life. And then when they are finally faced with such realities, wow, it's very, very challenging, cannot cope, and want to give up, and so on and so forth. You know what? I think it's important for us to you know, to build strength, endurance, to be able to persevere. You know, I'm one person who really, you know, learn what it means to persevere. That you don't give up. No matter how challenging it may be. Of course, we have wonderful examples like Pastor Charlie. You know, no matter what he's going through, you know, he has to persevere. You know, this week he was sharing with us, he was writing to us, it's very, very cold in Perth. And, you know, previously, Pastor, when he was maybe slightly younger, you know, he used to be stronger physically and all. He loved the cold. He would not wear a sweater and things like that. He would just walk around in winter. But nowadays, of course, you know, his health has weakened. And facing the cold, which is, what, 15 degrees during the day this week or something like that. And, you know, it affects his lungs, it affects his health. You know, it's a bit more challenging. But you know what? He is there and he's there to minister and he continues to do so. No matter how. No matter what. Yes, maybe his health is weighing him down. But you know what? He's going to lay it aside And he's just going to continue serving the Lord. And you know, he's such a wonderful example to us. I mean, what kind of health things do you all have? None of us really have health issues that we would be... maybe you are. You know, because she has a heart attack last week. None of us had a heart attack before. Almost, when you had your heart attack, I almost had one, you know, kind of thing. But the point is that, you know what, we persevere. See, we don't give up. We learn to develop spiritual perseverance that we should not give up. We should run this race, that we should continue. Despite the pain and the suffering and the difficulties that we encounter along the way, that we should not be discouraged. Okay? Despising the shame. And then really looking unto Jesus, who has ultimately sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he has finished his race. And wonderfully. So we want to take time to think this through. You know, let's not be one who would give up. Let's continue, no matter how difficult it may be, looking unto Jesus. So, you know, I'm one person that, I know I've been learning over the years, especially, you know, the struggle with, you know, our own inadequacies and so on and so forth, and struggles with problems and challenges, health issues, and even with the problem of sin. You know what? You learn, yes, we all have to deal with these things. We have to overcome these things also. But, you know, it's important for us to lay them aside. And just look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He will get us there. He will get us there to the finishing line. And He will help us complete this race. And all you need to do is to look to Him and follow Him. Just run with Him alongside you. You know, I like what Nike says. Just do it. Right? Just do it. Sometimes you think too much. Right? Do you want to go, want to exercise. Just do it. Right? Just run. Don't give up. Let's look to the Lord Jesus and see how He will help you along the way till He will help you to complete this faith of yours wonderfully. Okay? Let's pray before we go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His example in how He ran this race while He was on this earth. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and He finished His race. We pray, Lord, that You will teach us to look to Him as our author and finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to look to following Him each step of the way. Lord, we pray that You will help us not to be caught up with the weights and the sins that are affecting our lives. Help us, Lord, to lay them aside and to look to Christ instead. We pray, Lord, that You will bless our time, even as we fellowship together. We pray that You will bless our discussion together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Hon Shen's group, she's not around. She's overseas. You join me. Okay.